The reading today is from Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Jesus told this parable at the end of his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash.
Nice to see you all this morning. My name's Ian, for those who don't know me. I'm going to pray in a minute, and we're going to spend a little bit of time this morning just thinking about life, the things that matter, and we're going to stop and pause and sort of see and ask ourselves the question, what sort of life are we actually building now that will hold us not just in good stead in this life, but indeed, what are we going to do in terms of the next life? So if you could just bow your heads with me as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good things you give us. And Father, we ask that as we stop and look at your word this morning, that you'll encourage us to be wise as we listen. Help us to work hard in those areas of our lives that we are unsure on. And Father, may we leave today being stronger in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you just turn to the person next to you and ask them the question, this question, are you building a house or building a life? Thanks. Just do that for me. That'd be great. Okay, that's enough. That's enough banter. I'd probably actually like to know what some of the answers were. However, we'll get to that in a moment or two. I wonder if you ever found the issue of warnings. What is it about us in regards to why we don't really take seriously things like warnings about life? Last week you might have caught up with the news, I think it was in Western Australia, where a young man was killed by a shark. I was watching the news, and I was talking about some other people who, after about a day or so, they thought they'd just go back in the water. And I'm thinking, I don't know, do they do that? You know, me and a shark, I don't know, I think the shark would win. And it reminded me when I actually first saw the movie Jaws all those years ago. I don't think I went to the ocean for about 5 years after that. I don't think I had a bath or a shower. I was so scared in regards to just the soundtrack. And do you remember that? Anyone seen that? And you just think, wow, you know, water and sharks. What is it about now if you smoke? That's, I'm not making any comment, but I just wonder as I watch people in all sorts of places going and buying cigarettes. What is it about the warning signs on packet of cigarettes that we don't get? Touch this, you die. Smoke this, you'll be dead tomorrow. Well, what is it about warnings that we just sort of totally ignore? Is it really the fact that other people suffer, but we don't? Because we are stronger and wiser and we live in all sorts of other ways. What is it about warnings that we as humans don't really ever pick up on? And sometimes I think often in married life, we probably don't do the things we need to do. I noticed in yesterday's Herald, Adele Horan was making some comments about the benefits of a second marriage. And she was arguing in this little article that in fact, probably for men or women who are married second time round, it's a much better situation. And why might that be? She made this comment. She said she was talking about a friend of hers, and her friend was reflecting on her ex-husband. She is caught between anger and amusement. He was not a bad husband, she says, but he was a workaholic, focused on building his business and getting ahead. He wasn't home much, and he never could relax. He wasn't what you would describe as a great ball of fun. Now she hears in his second marriage, he's always on holidays with his wife. Every chance they get, they dash off to some warm, wonderful location. The children even caught him the other day rollerblading in the park. What is it about married life that we really never pick up on the signs first time round, But it seems second time round we are much wiser. Well, I probably should use the word potentially much wiser with other relationships. Is it just the simple rule or the law of hindsight that we really don't know what works until we actually experience something, fail, and then we get better and move forward in that way? It was just an interesting article. The question I asked about building a house or building a life, it seems to me that we're all building. We're all building something. The question of foundation, which came up in that sensational drama, we should give them a big clap again. That was just great. That was wonderful. And we're all building on some sort of foundation. There's no doubt about that. And we're all active in that way. And the truth of life is that all our foundations are going to be tested at some point. You know, even living up here in downtown Kellyville, I never thought I'd see the day when it got colder or windy or there'd be clouds in the sky. Every day just seems to be nice. What's that saying about Queensland? You know, is it beautiful one day, perfect the next? Is that the saying for Queenslanders? But we know it's a nice place to go and have a holiday in, but you wouldn't want to live there, would you? Oh, no. Moving right along. What is it about foundations? And see, the story we had read to us a minute or two ago echoes the very fact that only one foundation is going to stand. They all might look good and you might think, well, the material's okay, but the truth of life is only one foundation is going to be able to stand the tests and trials of this life, let alone that which will bring us to a closing point called death at the end of our life. And so Jesus, as you've been around this church for a little while, we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount, these amazing words that come from Scripture in Matthew 5, 6 and 7, where Jesus is challenging people and talking to people and giving incredible insight about their life. And week in, week out, my guess is even from this front stage, people have been challenged to change their life, to even change their way of thinking. Now, some of you may have done that. Others may not have at this point in time. You might be thinking about whether you need to change. You might be thinking about whether you need to take seriously the words that Jesus has been saying throughout this series. And today we stop and really just hear his final words, his concluding point about life. Of all the things that he could have said, of all the things that he'd been thinking about, he comes to this closing point and gives what I would consider quite a serious and momentous type warning. And this is how he says it. Verse 24 of Matthew 7, "Therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall." That is wonderful news. "Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Many years ago, myself and my wife lived on the south coast in a place called Ostonby, just near Thirroul. Anyone know where Thirroul is? Wonderful place. And we just actually lived in this great house below the Bulleye Escarpment just there. And we had these wonderful views of the ocean. It was a great place. One of the things about Ostonby, Thirroul and Coaldale, around that little area actually, there's something that you need to do before you go and build or buy a house. And for most homeowners or builders, you actually have to get what is called a geotech report. And there's some good reasons behind that. Because while there's some wonderful views and great locations and wonderful beaches, my friends, there's something called landslip that actually happens. And you only know whether you're on solid ground when the rain and the wind come. You can drive down the coast road and see it and you think, this is just wonderful. Everyone's got to live. This is so nice. But you're only tested when the weather changes. And we got a geotech report on a house we bought there, and it said the foundation was solid. Now, in the late 80s, we had some serious weather problems in the south coast. And we would drive around and we saw what we considered were wonderful houses now have, who are in the mountains, now actually have a beachfront. Because they actually hadn't checked the foundation of the house. And the house had actually literally slipped down, right down the ocean, towards the ocean. Now, Jesus is painting a picture, and we all know what building and houses are like. And Jesus is painting a picture about two builders, there are two foundations, and there are just simply two results at the end of this. And the question that we have to keep asking ourselves all the time is, what sort of house are we building, or what sort of life are we building? Are we really sure about the foundations that we stand on with the life that we are living? And often we are not. And yet all of us, I think, even though you can't see it, as you look at me this morning, I can clearly see on your forehead a sign. It says, owner builder. I can see that right now. You all have responsibility for construction. You've all taken out contracts on how you're going to live your life and things like that. And you have responsibility to actually make sure that the foundations you're building on are solid and firm. But often in life, we don't do that. We get so busy doing other things that we actually forget the things that really matter and the important things of life. And yet, just like back in Ostomy, it is only when wind and rain and the streams rise will you be tested. Only when life's troubles come will you be really tested. And we know that to be true in relationships, don't we? You know you might be married today, but the truth is, either the amount of time you spend in cultivating that relationship or the lack of time you spend in cultivating that relationship will produce a certain result. It's the same with children, it's the same with work. Depending how you spend your time will determine often the outcome in terms of life and what you are doing. The other week I saw the movie The Day After Tomorrow. Anyone see that movie? Wow. You sit there and you see this incredible change of weather pattern and nature just come and beat up on people and buildings. But it's so easy to sit there and watch such a thing and then go back home or have a coffee on the way out. Same with the movie The Perfect Storm. You can watch these incredible disaster type movies and they just go straight home and just keep living life and never think, I wonder how my life is going. I wonder how the things are that I think are important. Have I really got my own life the way it should be? And that's the question I think Jesus is talking about here this morning. He's talking about people who didn't necessarily start out to build on the wrong foundation. It just seems to be the foolish builder had no consideration that troubles would come. And maybe Tom Hanks captured it in the movie Forrest Gump. Stupid is. And then you should respond internally in your heart just then, as stupid does. Not that the person is stupid, but wow, we can do some stupid things. You might be sitting and thinking, no one in their right mind would build a house on sand. Put your hand up if you agree with that statement. No one in their right mind would build a house on sand. That's right. But I wonder how many people here this morning are building their house, called their life, on the wrong foundation. Ignoring what God has said, ignoring any spiritual side to your life. Ignoring the things that really matter. Because you're so caught up in your daily living of your life with work and business, and you come home and you do your stuff and you have your dinner and you get back on the internet and you go to work the next day, it's Tuesday and it's Wednesday and it's Thursday and you take the kids here and there and then by the time it's Saturday and it's soccer of course or netball and then it's Saturday night at 6 o'clock and you've got to go out to a dinner and then it's Sunday of course and if you're lucky come to church and then Monday starts and all of a sudden 10 years of life goes by. You catch your breath. I'll catch my breath after that. And meanwhile, you've left a trail of disasters along the way. Your wife has been saying to you, you just don't listen anymore. Your husband has been saying, honey, things aren't right. Your kids have been saying, hello, is anyone home? Do you remember us? Why did you bring us into this world? It was interesting as I got out of the car this morning to come to church. It might have been 2 Yui or 2 Jibi, I'm not quite sure, I didn't get to check on that. But I heard the statistics that just about now, 1 in 10 young people, mobile phone-wise, are running a debt of some $300 a month. And mobile phone debt in the younger generation is now becoming the major debt for all of them. Now that mightn't surprise anyone here who's a parent and who has a mobile phone or children who have mobile phones. But this is a huge other world we're producing. I wonder how they're going to respond to the challenges of life as they come, and they will come. What sort of life are you building for yourself? You see, and we can talk about things in this life now, and we can try and even put off the inevitable and think, well, we're pretty strong, nothing will happen to us. I noticed also Richard Glover in yesterday's Herald, I'm reading this more and more, and many of you might echo this. He said that he made the comment that 60 is the new 50. You know, we keep trying to redefine the ages now. Have you read this in our culture? And maybe you're trying to do it. 60 is the new 50. The baby boomers say, and 80 will soon become the new 70. This is really good news, of course, if you're approaching 50 like I am. You think, oh, I'm just so young, because really I'm only 30 or 40. And that's wonderful. He says, I hope the boomers will manage to redefine death by the time I get there. Maybe death could be the new, I'm a bit tired. Wow, gee, we're great as a society. I just love that thought. And so you just keep putting it off. You know, when you turn 70, in fact, I'm only 60, you just keep, you know, and by the time you're sort of getting, you're pushing on a bit, well, I'm actually just tired. I'm not really dying. And we laugh, and I laugh when I read it, and that's why I brought it along to share this morning with you. But I'm reading this sort of stuff all the time. I'm sure you must be coming across it all the time, how we keep trying to redefine life. Redefine the things that matter, the things that don't matter. Redefine the value system of our world. Redefine what's important. Redefine the issues called raise questions about the foundations we're building our life on. We want to keep redefining to suit ourselves. And Jesus bluntly, and really calling a spade at this point, says, what are you building your life on? Are you sure of the foundations? Your philosophy of life, your doctrine, your teaching, your value system. What are those things when it comes to this life that you're living now? The things that you are telling your children that are non-negotiable. The things that you're telling others, no, I will not compromise on this. No, I will not be led into temptation to have an affair with another woman. No, because I committed myself to my wife some 20 and something years ago. And I tell that to my friends and my children because I want them to grow up knowing the importance of promises and commitment. What are your value systems? Are you cheating from your employer right now? It's tax time. How many of you actually think, oh, it doesn't really matter. I don't really need to tell them about that deal. That one doesn't matter. I got paid in cash. That's all right. I'll put that aside here. And don't try and pretend that somehow we don't get all caught up in this situation. I get caught up in it all the time. So we must all do. What are the things that you really value? The things that shape you, make you who you are? Do you know the things that will help you stay strong in this life? Let alone dealing and responding to the storms that will come. The foundations are so important. What type of house, what type of life are you building? And see, make no mistake that Jesus brings this story to a strong conclusion, a strong point. Because also we need to realize it might just be good to stop at this point, wouldn't it? To listen to the wind howl. How nice that that is happening on such a day as we talk about foundations. Because many of us will leave today not thinking twice about life. Not thinking twice about the things that rattle and shake in the middle of the night. Because you want to live your life believing that no matter what happens to them, I will be okay. You see, Jesus wants us to understand that there are things that impact our life today. There are storms and winds that blow. You see, let's say you're living in Kellyville and I came and bashed on your door. Quick, get out, come on. John Gray, get out of the house. The floods are rising. Now, I might have disturbed John in his house and he might be thinking, why don't I employ that bloke? Geez, a nuisance. He might think that anyhow, however, just... But let me tell you, if John looks out the window and actually sees that the flood waters in Kellyville are rising, he might thank me later on for giving him a warning and for letting him know, mate, you've got to do something. You've got to respond now. Now, many of us will say no, like we do in bushfires. You say, I've never been caught in a bushfire. But you hear this story after story that when people's houses are burning down, what's the last thing they want to do? Leave their house. We are so attached to those things. We are so attached, of course, I understand this, to the photos, the memories, all the things that we say make us who we are. And yet as the house or the bushfire is getting closer and closer, as the storms of life are rising, we think we'll be okay. It won't affect me. It'll affect them. Do you know for certain what you're building your life on? These storms may be like this storm today, figurative. But what about the personal storms of life? Illness, divorce, death, loss of children, brokenness, pain, loss of job. All those things that throw us off our guard. How are you handling those things in your life right now? Jesus says, if you're locked in with me, if you have your faith and assurance locked in with a relationship with me, you will be able to handle those things that will come your way. You will be able to respond to them. And my friends, then there is the final storm of life. That final storm that will come that is called death. Now, I don't want to be morbid today because it's a great day. And I want to remind you, in fact, that way at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, about Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read some powerful words that actually describe who this son is who is actually going to be born to Mary. And I wonder if you remember those great words, in fact, as say you're going to be given a saviour. Jesus' purpose of coming is to save us, not to give us bad news. And yet he chooses this timing and these words to shape our lives. Because that day will come. I wonder how many people, was it 1974, Cyclone Tracy, Darwin, Christmas? How many people thought prior to that, nothing will ever happen to us? I wonder how many people's lives changed, or how they built different types of homes after that event. There is the final storm of life that will come. Are you ready for that time? The Bible tells us this, that man is appointed to live, to die once, and after that face judgment. Are we ready for that day? Is our relationship with God sure and certain? And maybe we can ask finally, so how can you know? Verse 24 echoes it. Again, Jesus says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. What is it about us why we don't want to listen to each other? What is it about us or about our children when we say, go and do this? You know they don't want to listen to you. As soon as you start opening your mouth, you know they've already predetermined, I'm not going to listen to Dad. Even before you said anything. Here's a $50 note. Oh, what? That'd be good. What is it about men that as we're sharing and loving and living our lives with our beautiful wives, that they start talking and we're not even turned on? We're already turned off. We're back, you know, we're somewhere else on another planet. And what is it about sometimes with our women as we talk, we're not really listening to each other? Now, if we can't do that together, how are we ever going to listen to what God has got to say? How God points us towards this great reality that the time will come. I've got a picture coming up on the screen. I want you to look at this for a moment. The journey of 1,000 miles sometimes ends very, very badly. My friends, we might want to redefine life. We might want to redefine our generations. We might want to even redefine death and call it, "I'm feeling a bit tired." But there will come a point when we can no longer redefine it. And we're all in the stream of life right now. And we're all swimming somewhere. And we all want to believe, my guess is in this room this morning, that we are swimming upstream in the right direction. But my guess is it's true to say there are people here today who still have not even given Jesus a second thought. Who've never given a second thought about their spiritual well-being. Who've never even bothered to think about that final day. Jesus says, my friends, if you ignore him, and we learnt this last week, if you ignore him in this life, he will say to you at that point, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You have been living a pretend life. And right at the end of that stream is going to be a big, bad, ugly bear. And the Bible would call that big, bad, ugly bear hell. And the Bible does talk about heaven and hell. The Bible does talk about a reality that there are two choices at the end. Now in our world, it seems to me, thanks, we can turn that off now. In our world, my guess is we think hell is something like this. The underground car parking at the Towers on a Saturday morning. Now that's hell. And especially if you've actually gone in there to try and find a parking spot. Why would you ever think that's what you'll find when you go in there? You'll find lots of cars and no vacancies. We think some of those things is more like hell. Jesus actually says, my friends, earlier on in even Matthew's gospel, that hell is not a place you want to go to. Pluck out your eye, cut off a limb, do anything you can to avoid going to that place. It is a place you do not want to go. How are you building your life? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Oh, the rain came down, the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on rock. Is your foundation on Jesus Christ today? Because if it isn't, this morning is a defining moment for you. This morning is a defining moment where you can make a decision to say, I need to do this. I need to do business with God and get my life right with him. I cannot just keep going out and driving around as if it doesn't matter. Jesus, of all people, provides us with a lasting warning. Make your choice, my friends. Say to yourself, this Jesus bloke, he's a fool. That Ian bloke who's telling us about Jesus, he's got to be a bigger fool because he believes it. You make a clear, concise and defined decision about where you stand on this person of Jesus. And then you'll be able to be clear about what sort of foundation you're building on. You might be keep redefining your life. You might be saying to each other, honey, it's going to get better. It's a busy time at work at the moment. My friends, I used to do that to my wife. And she was gracious and loving enough to say to me, Ian, it's always a busy time for you at work. There is no such thing as a downtime. And we can keep living our lives, continuing like that and thinking, there is no bad news coming. Don't ignore the things that are pushing you at this point. Don't ignore the things you're involved in. And do not ignore what Jesus is saying. He says this in Matthew 6, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy. He says this, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't. Jesus says only a few verses prior to this, to enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate And broad is the road that leads to destruction. What path are you on now? You see, the greatest decision you'll make today or after today, between now and next week, tonight, the greatest decision you'll make in really is not so much concerning this life, but it concerns the life to come. It concerns what happens after death. There is the greatest decision. And so what decision have you made? Because on that final day, the chief building inspector, Jesus Christ, will come and enter your life and enter your house. And he'll have in the back pocket his condemned stickers. Or he'll have in the other pocket his key to enter into heaven sticker. And as he looks around your building and the foundation, as he tries and tests out the Play-Doh of life, and picks it up soft and gooey, looks blue, must be money, I'm building my house on financial wealth because I know I'm clever and I know I'm smart and I've built my whole life based on my wealth. And Jesus will look at that and say, you fool, that won't hold anything up. And he'll come to the next year and this person will be saying, man, oh man, I'm a really cool card shark. I'm very smart. Intellectually, I'm bright. I'm shrewd and I've done things, you know. And Jesus will look at this person and say, waste of time. Don't be that stupid. And he'll come to that final person and say, incredible, you're wise enough to use Lego blocks. No, he won't say that. He'll say, you're wise enough to build your life on solid foundation. You're wise enough to listen to the warnings that the Bible gave about life. You're wise enough to say, I can't do it all myself. I am not that smart. You are wise enough to listen to the warning about not being a fool, about building a life on solid foundation now so you can be ready for that final day. One of the good things I think about us as people is that we often don't take too many things seriously. Our Australian culture is a pretty cynical one. But my friends, you're here this morning. You're hearing what the Bible says about your life. I plead with you, take it seriously. I ask you, be aware of how you live your life. Jesus wants to know about how you're going. He wants to remodel your life. If you let Jesus into your life, he will come and stabilize your soul. If you allow Jesus into your life, he will cure you of doubt and unbelief. If you let Jesus into your house, your life, he will humble and give you a humble spirit. If you allow Jesus into your life, he will give you a new faith, a sure direction. God wants to use the storms of our life to bring us back to him. God wants to use the storms of our life to turn weak people into strong people. God wants to use the storms of our life to rekindle hope in relationship with him. Be wise enough to listen. Don't live your life as if it doesn't matter. Take note. Build your house on solid foundation. That foundation is knowing Jesus. Amen.